5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
If you're listening, President Xi, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to not hire Americans and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
After his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night, Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November.
Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf
as an impending bloodbath.
Times entitled a Biden bloodbath.
The word bloodbath and massacre come up.
Bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath.
A bloodbath for the company after the fiasco.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. It's officially on the clock. A great new open. The bloodbath. What a joke. You know, today the real theme is all about the censorship idea. Because if you can control people's access to information, if you can control all of that stuff, and ultimately you can browbeat them into being silent. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to be canceled. Speaking of somebody who's been canceled multiple times, who does not care anymore what anybody thinks, this is what we're fighting for your ability to be you. It's not a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. It's an American thing. And this tug of war, it's so obvious. And it's a bummer when you can see as clearly as I think you're going to be able to see in a sit down with Elon Musk and Don Lemon. So Don Lemon is a one-trick pony. He is not dissimilar from Chris Cuomo. Same background at CNN. They believe whatever is popular in the moment. Except Don Lemon, I think, is a little bit more dangerous. Because he can't see the world outside of the prism of race. And so anything that is racist or perceived as racist, discriminatory, hurtful, damaging, these are nebulous, feely words that are not rooted in law. You compare him with Elon Musk. You guys imagine where we would be if Elon Musk had not bought Twitter? He bought a losing investment. Cut 80% of the staff. Still going strong. We would not have access to environments in which to speak freely. That's scary. And then if he had not opened up the Twitter files, we would have no idea about the incestuous revolving door government into Twitter relationship and how many times government officials pressured Twitter to clamp down on certain conservative voices. They weren't clamping down on Democrats, by and large. They were clamping down on us. So Don sits down. He's interviewing Elon Musk. And the funny sidebar is that Elon Musk gave Don Lemon this opportunity to have a show on Twitter. And Lemon came back at him, not with gratitude, but with demands for like millions of dollars. And then in the sit-down interview, talking about managing and moderating what is posted, what is tweeted on X, he goes after Elon Musk as only Don Lemon can. But you're going to hear the difference between the two ideas. One believes in some emotionally based objective, which is to control you. And the other believes in facts and law. What is what is right and wrong based on the law. Audio soundbite number one. Don Lemon sets, he kind of tees it up. And he's going to open the door to this idea that Elon Musk has a duty, an obligation as a powerful man and owner of Twitter, X, to control what people are saying. Listen.
You recently called content moderation, though, a digital chastity belt. Do you think that you believe that X and you have some responsibility to moderate hate speech on the platform?
I think we have a responsibility to adhere to the law, and we have a responsibility to be transparent about when things are shown, why they're shown. So that's why we open source our algorithm. I think once you start going beyond the law, now you're putting your thumb on the scale.
If what you say is within the parameters of the law, then I'm good with that. Once I start being judge, jury, and executioner, my thumb is on the censorship scale. Don's going to come back, but wait a minute, I got to go emotional based here because this is what I'm talking about. This is what leftists do. But there's research out there. Research suggests that things have gotten worse since you bought Twitter. Elon Musk is going to say, I don't think so. Listen.
It doesn't concern you that hate speech has gone. Research shows that it's gone up on the platform since you took over. That's not concerning to you?
I believe that is false. In fact, the research that I've seen says it went down.
The study from the Institute of Strategic Dialogue found that anti-Semitic tweets doubled from June 22 to February 2023. One study reported that as many as 86% of the posts reported for hateful content remained up after being reported. Hate speech on the platform is up.
So what they will typically do is they will count the number of posts, but not count the number of views. So what matters is, was that post given high visibility, or what did like one person see it? And if you look at the number of views of how many times was hate content viewed on our platform, it is down substantially.
Yeah.
So I understand the distinction. Don Lemming is going to say, hey, there's research. Research shows that there's hate speech on your platform and you're letting it. In fact, it's gone up. And he says, Elon Musk back, no, actually, that's not the case at all because it's not getting exposed. We are not promoting it. It's not visible, right? We're taking care of this. Don's not done. He says, well, wait a minute. I want to show you. Look at all this stuff. Look at how ugly and hateful this is. This is what the left does. Oh, yeah. What about this? And Musk just destroys him. Listen.
Well, that's not what the study shows. And you said you like transparency. I'm going to show you this. And
Don, you can get a study that will tell you whatever you want.
Boom.
These are just a handful of extremely, if you look at those anti-Semitic and racist tropes and tweets. And as of this morning, they're still on X. And from your own content policy, these posts should have been deleted. So why haven't they been deleted? Why are they still there?
We delete things if they are illegal.
But these have been up there for a while.
Are they illegal?
They're not illegal, but
Ooh. They're
hateful and they can lead to violence.
Do you hear it? It's the savior complex. They're hateful. According to whom? They can lead to violence. Do you see how fuzzy and dangerous that zone is that Don Lemming is dancing in? And he proceeds. Let's go to these transgender shooters. We're not going to talk about them being scrambled and hyped up on all sorts of crap, drugs and whatnot, hormones and whatever. We're going to talk about this. Social media is to blame, says Don Lemon, as he's continuing with that emotional card. Go.
As I just read to you, the shooters, you know, in all of these mass shootings, attributed social media to radicalizing.
So Don, you love censorship, is what you're saying?
No, I don't love censorship.
Then why are you asking?
I believe in moderation, but I don't believe in
censorship. Moderation is a propaganda word for censorship.
But don't you think free speech is one thing, right? Or not, you know?
Look, if something's illegal, we're going to take it down. If it's not illegal, then we're putting our thumb on the scale and we're being censors.
The First Amendment protects speech that is offensive, Don. You want to change it. You want to bubble wrap the world in the likeness of sock. Elon Musk is saying if it's not against the law, we keep it. What part of that don't you understand? So then Don Lemon shows that he's not prepared. Because when you're emotional based, my facts don't give a flip about your feelings. And this is where Musk eviscerates him with facts. Go.
you don't put out child pornography. That's not...
It's illegal.
Some people would say that's considered censorship. I'm just saying, you...
No, I literally... Don, you know, I literally said, if something is legal, okay, we will obviously remove it.
Okay.
But if it is not legal, if the laws in this country are put forward by the citizens, we're a democracy.
Yes.
If those laws are put in place by the people, we adhere to those laws.
Okay,
and
I agree.
We adhere to the laws of others. If you go beyond the law, you're actually going beyond the will of the people.
Okay, agreed with the law.
Agreed with the law, but then he's going to say something. This is where Don Lemon's brain malfunctions. He's like, but this isn't what the mainstream media would ever do. Listen, oh boy.
You are doing something that promotes hate and violence and ultimately leads to killing. You don't feel you have any responsibility not to do that? When the people who are doing it admittedly are saying...
There's articles all the time that lead to violence and killing. Shouldn't they, you're applying a differential standard to...
But that would never be in mainstream media. These types of images, that type of language, those things would never be. We'd never, when I was in mainstream media, we'd never promote things that would be anti-Semitic. We would never promote things that would... Did you not see those?
You said promote. If content is on the platform, that doesn't mean we promote it.
But that wouldn't be on a platform for mainstream media at all.
He doesn't get
it. But you can think of that. That's because the mainstream media has like, whatever, 20 articles a day. We have 500 million posts today.
Okay, understood.
500 million.
Does it bother you?
What?
How do you feel about that
when
you see it?
How do you feel about that? I got to go back to emotion. I can't fight your facts, but I can dig in and I can try to go into the emotion, right? You hear the difference. It's so blatant, night and day. And Elon Musk is like, I'm not promoting hateful content. Do you understand? No, there is no negotiating with crazy. They can't do it. And it's not even the best part yet. Quick time out. We'll finish up with Don and Elon next. So Don Lemon has said to Elon Musk, look, I found a study from the Institute of Strategic Defense, or Dialogue, excuse me, Institute of Strategic Dialogue, that found anti-Semitic tweets doubled from June of 2022 to June of 2023 after you bought X. That 88% of those tweets stayed up after they were being reported. My friends, I've searched all over. Now, we realize that Google is suppressing certain things. Of course, this would not be one of those things I would imagine Google would suppress. They would elevate this. They would want us to think that Elon Musk is terrible and that he's marketing in anti-Semitic and racist, you know, tropes. But that's not the case. Elon Musk has said, look, you're allowed to be filthy. You're allowed to be ugly. You're allowed to have terrible thoughts. You know, as long as you're not breaking the law, I'm not putting my thumb on the scale of censorship and determining what is allowed and is not allowed. If you don't like what's going on, then go to your legislators and change the law, and then we will change our algorithm. But that's not how this works. Don Lemon can't get outside of the emotional thing. Got to be able to extract. They can't extract, because when you lose in facts, you've got to go with feelings. And here's Don Lemon completely awash in his emotional side.
What you're suggesting is censorship that goes beyond the law. And what I'm saying is that we have a disagreement, because I do not believe in censorship that goes beyond the law, and you do. We have a difference of opinion in that regard.
All right, so we have a difference in opinion in that regard. So we're not going to agree. You want censorship and I don't. And Don Lemon says, I want right and wrong. Now, who doesn't want right and wrong? Right and wrong says that people who are standing outside the Capitol, no matter what day, who did not do anything wrong, shouldn't be rounded up, arrested, prosecuted, and thrown in prison. That's wrong. There's no debate, right? If you really want right versus wrong, Don, it's not just based on the stories, the ideas that you cherry pick. It has to be constant. Here's your final audio soundbite.
Oh, I see how you feel now. You don't agree. We don't agree on this.
Yes, you want censorship and I don't.
No, I don't want censorship at
all. Yes, you do.
No, I want responsibility. I think there...
You desperately want censorship.
No, if I want a censorship...
You want censorship so bad you can taste it.
No, that's not true. It's not true. I think that there's right and wrong.
And I think that
when you have a platform that's as big as yours and as powerful as yours and as influential as yours, and you are a person of consequence to the world with what you do, that there is a certain responsibility that goes along with what you have on your platform and what you put out to the world. And I think that's important. You don't see that responsibility.
I think we have a responsibility to adhere to the law. And if people want the law changed, they should talk to their elected representative and get the law changed, and then we will adhere to the law.
Okay.
But if you want us to go beyond the law,
that is
us deciding to be censors.
So,
and I'm against censorship. I'm in favor of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
There's a difference, Don, but you're not getting it. You're not getting it. And that is what makes you a liberal. That is what makes you infuriating to discuss anything with. Because you will not get out of that mindset. Did you guys see this headline? Jazz legend John Stockton sues Washington Attorney General for prohibiting COVID misinformation. This is exactly what we're talking about. Former Utah Jazz player John Stockton has filed a lawsuit in federal court against the Washington Attorney General and the executive director of the Washington Medical Commission, arguing that the state's policy of disciplining doctors who spread COVID misinformation is unconstitutional for First Amendment reasons. Stockton is the lead plaintiff in the suit, along with two retired doctors who were sanctioned in the state. The Children's Health Defense nonprofit, helmed by presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy, is also a plaintiff. Kennedy is listed as one of the plaintiff's lawyers. The suit alleges that the doctors in question, two of approximately 60 physicians the Washington Medical Commission has investigated, prosecuted, and/or sanctioned, the suit says, were harmed by the decision of the commission to charge them with professional misconduct, in that they were no longer able to post opinion columns spreading the misinformation, blah, blah, blah. They were talking about hydroxychloroquine. They were talking about stop forcing mechanical ventilation on people, you're killing them. We need people to have access to things like ivermectin. These folks lost their licenses. They lost their jobs. They lost their livelihoods. Don Lemon, do you think that is right? Because what they said was correct. And the misinformation, in fact, was coming from our federal government. See, the First Amendment protects everything, my friends. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wrong, and the right. So how do you get a liberal to see that? When we come back, it is perhaps the most consequential free speech case in U.S. history. And the High Court is hearing it right now. We got to hear what Ketanji Brown Jackson said. Oh, my. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. You know, I just kind of dropped on you at the ending of that last segment, this idea that John Stockton is suing the Washington Attorney General for prohibiting COVID misinformation. So this is the story here, and I think this is really interesting. Stockton's role in this lawsuit comes as an alleged harmed party. He argues that as a result of the medical commission's decisions, basically to silence doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough and others, and there are 60 named physicians from the Washington area who were squelched because they refuted the narrative that the left was pushing out. All of it. I mean, think about that. That because of that, because of the alleged misinformation that the censors then silence these doctors from spreading, John Stockton and others were not able to have access to a free marketplace of ideas that ended up being actually correct. The harm done to so many industries, the harm done to medicine, to research, to pharma, anything pharma related, How many of us have been wounded to the point where you doubt what medical professionals tell you because it's been so terrible? Because you're not allowed to talk about vaccine injury. You're not allowed to talk about people who've died suddenly. The same way the media are not covering the number of American citizens who have been killed in this country since Joe Biden's open border invited everybody and his brother from around the world to get here. Libs of TikTok, I was just scrolling through. Biden's border bloodbath is now trending on X. Thank God Elon Musk bought the platform, because that never would have been allowed. I mean, think about how damn dangerous this is. And to silence a medical professional who has knowledge that they went to freaking school for years. I'm married to a doctor, for heaven's sakes. Simply because what they share is contrary to the suck that you're pushing. And rather than hold the people accountable for pushing the suck, we're just going to put a muzzle on those who dare to speak up. That's disgusting. And this is where we are, which leads us to this. Rand Paul says it's probably the most consequential free speech case in United States history. And I can't disagree with him. So yesterday, got some audio sound bites. We're going to share a couple of these clips with you because I think it's important. Ketanji Brown Jackson. In all honesty, I'm not really all that interested in Ketanji Brown Jackson. And it's a shame that I would say to you that she is nothing more than a diversity hire. Which goes back to the argument of affirmative action and this box-checking mentality of wokeness. It is so destructive to actually talented people who actually climb the ladders of success in their respective industries because of everything except what they look like. Any black high achiever out there, right, is now looked at through the prism of box checking. Oh, you must have only gotten here because of that. That's terrible. That's what Clarence Thomas warned about in the 80s. When he was like, or the 90s, when he was like, I'm against affirmative action. It's dangerous and it's racist. So Ketanji Brown Jackson says something that's so phenomenal about the First Amendment. She's flabbergasted that this case that is before the high court regarding censorship would somehow infringe on the government's ability to control what we're allowed to have access to. Right? And everybody's like, bing, 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 bing. Last time I checked, that's what the First Amendment was all about. It is a protection, a safeguard for us so that the government can't control us in that way. So here's your headline. The Gateway Pundit, just in, this is several hours ago, obviously, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson just defended the U.S. government violating the First Amendment during arguments in the case Senator Rand Paul calls the most consequential free speech case in U.S. history. This afternoon, and so again, this is yesterday, Senator Rand Paul tweeted about the U.S. Supreme Court case, Murphy versus Missouri, that involves several plaintiffs, including the Gateway Pundit, who've been harmed by censorship by the government and big tech. In his tweet, Senator Paul wrote this: today, SCOTUS heard Murphy versus Missouri, the most consequential free speech case in U.S. history. This isn't just about social media companies. It's a critical examination of government overreach. The Biden administration and FBI's efforts to influence big tech into silencing dissent tramples on the First Amendment. Our focus must be on preventing government censorship, not compelling private entities to act as censors. That's exactly what Don Lemon was just trying to do to Elon Musk. He's trying to browbeat, trying to guilt and to shame Elon Musk from taking moderation, which is the propaganda term for censorship, to another level. And Elon Musk saying no. If what you say falls in the parameters of what is lawful, you can say it on my platform. And if you don't like that, then go change the law. Refreshing. So Joe Biden's latest addition to the Supreme Court, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, had kind of a different take on the significance of this free speech case against the high court. Some might say that Justice Brown Jackson, whatever, during oral arguments, kind of dismissed the First Amendment as a roadblock for the government and big tech in their efforts to collude against Americans to censor their free speech. It's kind of amazing to hear this. So I want you to hear what she said in this instance, and how she defends the government's right to control what we get, say, think, and feel. Listen, go.
Justice Jackson?
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
What the heck is up with the left and the savior complex? This duty to protect. Do you really have a duty to protect? Or do you have a duty to abide by the law? The law. The Constitution. Now, in stark contrast, here's Justice Sam Alito. He's going to argue that the government and big tech should in no circumstances be working together to silence the voices of others because they don't agree with what the others are saying. Here's Sam Alito.
And I see that the White House and federal officials are repeatedly saying that Facebook and the federal government should be partners. We're on the same team. Officials are demanding answers. I want an answer. I want it right away. When they're unhappy, they curse them out. There are regular meetings. There is constant pestering of Facebook and some of the other platforms, and they want to have regular meetings, and they suggest, they suggest rules that should be applied, and why don't you tell us everything that you're going to do so we can help you and we can look it over. And I thought, wow, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media, our representatives over there. If you did that to them, what do you think the reaction would be? And so I thought, the only reason why this is taking place is because the federal government has got Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket, and it's, to mix my metaphors, and it's got these big clubs available to it. And so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates.
There is no world in which freedom exists when you've got government and the people who control access to information sleeping together. Ew. Jim Jordan asked about it after this whole exchange, and I've got two audio sound bites from him, and he calls a spade, Ketanji Brown Jackson's liberal view of the Constitution and the First Amendment is freaking scary. Go.
The big takeaway today was Ketanji Brown Jackson when she said to the Solicitor General from Louisiana, she said, "You've got the First Amendment hamstringing the government." Well, that's what it's supposed to do, for goodness sake. It was literally one of the craziest things I've ever seen, that you could have a justice on the United States Supreme Court say that in the oral. It made no sense to me. That is frightening, because if she really believes that, that is scary where we're headed. Understand what took place here. This was censorship by surrogate. This was big government telling big tech to take down speech they disagreed with. And it was the most fundamental kind of speech. It was political speech, the kind that's supposed to have the most heightened scrutiny you can have before you can take that down. But that's what took place. And then to have a justice on the Supreme Court say what she said, that is frightening.
Do you think Ketanji Brown Jackson is okay with Google interfering 41 times in 16 recent elections? Dating back to 2008, do you think she thinks that's okay? If she thinks there's a duty to protect, there's a very creepy godlike complex of creating the world through your vision. That's called gross. See, we believe in what's good for everyone. An open marketplace of ideas. You decide who sinks or swims. You determine what person gets Bud Lighted. You decide where to spend your money. That's how it works in a constitutional republic. Jim Jordan finishes by saying this. You know, this is exactly what this administration has been all about. Control. Listen.
Here's how bad it was. The third day of the Biden administration, the White House, Clark Humphrey from the White House, sends an email to Twitter saying, take down this tweet ASAP. And guess what the tweet was? RFK Jr. saying, Hank Aaron, two sentences, Hank Aaron took the vaccine and passed away. He did so to encourage black Americans to get vaccinated. Two true statements. They went after that tweet. True statements. They wanted it taken down. And oh, by the way, who was that individual? The guy running against them in the primary. That is as scary as it gets, but that's what this White House was doing, this administration was doing. And let's hope the court reaches the right decision.
Don't disagree. This is why it is so pivotal we are speaking about this today. And you get to see the dichotomy. The Alito versus Ketanji Brown Jackson, the Don Lemon versus Elon Musk. Which sounds more reasonable to you? Coming up next, America the Mediocre. The effects of checking boxes when it comes to the bar exam. Oh my goodness. Wait for it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. When you step out of the realm of living in a meritocracy where hard work, God-given talent, and go-gettedness is rewarded, and because of that, all boats rise up to that level of aptitude. When you don't live in a meritocracy and instead you are in this place that we're in right now of box checking suck, you get headlines like the one I'm about to read to you. This is from a website called thepublica.com. Washington Supreme Court rules that the bar exam is no longer a requirement to practice law. Cites impact on marginalized groups. This is so racist. It's so insulting. This is one of my rubs about abortion. Abortion, almost like the vast majority, caters to women of color. The idea that you should not love or care about or believe that you have the God-given gift to bring another human being into this world and to be a dazzling individual on their behalf. Just abort that child is reprehensible to me. It's overwhelmingly a message for the black and the brown community. Changing the rules. We're not going to need the SAT anymore because black students and brown students can't really do it. Is insulting to every single black and Hispanic person out there who doesn't fall into that trap. You want to be a lawyer? Usually we use the bar exam as that goal, as that benchmark to show that you've got what it takes. Nah. We have failed you so royally for so many generations in our public schools, and COVID was the final, card. That sunk you. You just fell into the abyss, and we don't think that you have the wherewithal to get out. So the savior complex left is going to say, you know what? Let us come in. Not only are we going to cancel your student debt because remember us in November. Because we know you can't do it on your own. We're just going to scrub these requirements. Is this something that anybody should celebrate? Or should we be screaming about America in retrograde? Because that is where you are. America the mediocre. So if young Black and Hispanic children in this country are raised with the idea that they don't have what it takes, that they are hamstrung at birth specifically because of their DNA, that they will never make it on their own without the help of do-gooders, primarily white college-educated liberal women. What kind of message does that get baked into the fiber of that individual as they grow older? And then we all scratch our heads and say, why is everybody so angry? Why don't we convey the message in all schools that you are a gift, a vision of the Creator? There is only one you. Nobody can pretend. There is no imposter. And God demands and expects you to be as extraordinary as possible, to use those gifts, whatever they might be, to the very best of your ability. And that means not making excuses for when you don't make it. It means working harder until you do. These are not the messages that students in general get in school. And when their parents are being beaten by the idea that marriage is a vestige of white supremacy and that Black people will never make it because the deck inherently is stacked against them, are we to scratch our heads and be perplexed by the problems on the streets, by the violence, by the desperation? Of course not. It is a product of the left. The left is its own self-fulfilling prophecy. When you expect nothing and you excuse everything, you get zero. When you expect everything and you allow no excuses, you present the kindling of a fire. And when you continue to push based on those expectations, because failure is not an option, that fire can burn in an inferno. And it can spread. And it can ignite a flicker in people all around the world. Why don't we have American heroes that espouse that? What we have are talking heads who encourage people not to try, not to dream, not to believe, and not to achieve. And if you reject that, in America today, you can be canceled. I'm proof of it. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program coming up next. Are you watching what's going on? The idea that illegals have a right to carry guns. I want to go there with you. What do you think? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.